your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Throughout the ages, history has been altered by word of mouth and the misrepresentation of those who might not have been present when some of the world's most significant events took place. Channelers Barry and Connie Strom bring through the spirits of those who actually witnessed or took part in these historical events and lets them tell their stories in their own words. Welcome to Channeling History. And now, here are your hosts, Barry and Connie Strom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Channeling History. We're the only show where we speak to the souls that make things happen. We're brought to you every week on the Para-X Radio Network. I'm Barry Strom, your host, and I will be doing the channeling tonight.
I'm Connie Strom, and I would like to thank you for tuning into our show tonight. If you've been following our show, you know that our list of guests is a little different from other shows in that they are all departed souls. I will be the co-host tonight, and I will be asking the questions of our spirit guest. We do have a list of prepared questions, but we prefer to use those from the chat room, so your questions are more than welcome.
We always try to give a small disclaimer when we begin a show that we have no idea how some of our guests are going to answer. So the opinions, statements, or words voiced on our show are the channeled words of the spirits and do not necessarily reflect the opinions, those of the Para-X Network, or our sponsors.
Last week, we had a very interesting interview with the English monarch, King Richard III. His reputation was ruined by tonight's guest, William Shakespeare. We will ask him the truth about the king. If you missed it, the interview with Richard is available on our YouTube channel.
Tonight, you will have the unique opportunity to submit questions to one of the most famous literary individuals that ever walked the earth. We hope that you take the advantage of the opportunity by submitting your questions to the Para-X chat room.
All of our previous shows are available on our YouTube channel, that is in the name of Barry Strom, and Podomatic.com under the name Channeling History, where you can download them or just listen to them for free. It's also available on Audible, iTunes, Spotify, and most of the other popular platforms. When we begin our channeling tonight, I will ask the questions, and Barry will answer the questions in the words of our guest, Will Shakespeare.
If you've listened to our show, you know that before we channel, we always say a prayer of protection. There's evil out there, and we want to make sure we're protected when we open a channel to the other side. So Connie will now say the prayer, and we will begin to channel with our famous guest.
God, please grant us your wisdom and protection. Grant us the knowledge that we can handle and keep us safe from all things that will harm us. Keep the messages positive and pure love. Keep us safe from our egos. We ask these things in the light of the seen, the unseen, and the honesty of God. Amen. Will, thank you for returning to us. We channeled you a few years ago, and it was remarkably interesting. Would you like to begin with a message?
Yes, I would. In my day, we could not have things like this happen. Now, we did have our theater catch fire and burn down, which would have been very bad for us in those days, and it was. But anyway, thank you for asking me to come back. I'm glad that you've asked me to do this, and I will be very happy to answer your questions tonight.
Thank you. You were born in 1564. What was England like during your childhood?
During my childhood, England was a very dangerous and difficult place to live. Queen Elizabeth was trying to begin to straighten out the many things that were wrong. The Reformation had caused a lot of problems in England, and there was much sickness. The plague was a reoccurring problem. It was a very difficult time to be alive.
Okay, Queen Elizabeth was the last of the Tudors. She ascended to the throne in 1558 and died in 1603. Could you tell us a little more about her?
Queen Elizabeth was a very, very good ruler. She was the last of the Tudors, and she was taking over from the mess that her family members had created before. Mary had been an incredibly brutal and terrible person to rule the country. Elizabeth tried her best to do all that she could to improve the circumstances that were around our, that we were attempting to live with. She was a very fair person. She was, at times, a very difficult and sometimes even a bit cruel, because there were many people that were trying to take over and were trying to dethrone her. She was a wonderful person. She wanted theaters to prosper, and she wanted entertainment for the people. She realized that the people needed things to take their minds off all that was happening. And she was a very, very good person.
Okay. Could you tell us about your mother and father?
My mother was a very good person. She was a religious person. She believed in God. She had had a background in Catholicism, but as the Reformation was taking place, she converted to the Church of England. My father actually made gloves. He was a leathersmith. He made a decent living, and he actually had some authority in the town in which we lived. They were good parents. We had a large family, as was the custom of the day. And I was actually quite anxious to move out on my own and to try to fulfill some things that I had in my mind. I was close to a school, so I did have access to books, and I read much, and I tried to learn as much as I could.
Okay. Were you affected by the Protestant Reformation?
We were all affected by the Protestant Reformation. The establishment of the Church of England basically negated the powers of the Catholic Church in England. Because of this, the other Catholic countries bore a lot of resentment, and there were many, many people that still clung to the Catholic faith. So it was a difficult time. Elizabeth tried to lead us forward and to do a better time with the church.
Okay, will you describe your religious beliefs for us?
I tried to keep my religious beliefs to myself as best as possible. There were times that I did cling to the beliefs of the Catholic Church, but I also knew that if I came out against the new religious movement, that it would not do well for my future. I did come to believe more in the Protestant Reformation, and I would say that by the end of my life, I conformed more to the new beliefs. I always was a firm believer in God, and I continued to believe in hell. Those were the classic teachings, but I did have doubts about how the Catholic church attempted to control all aspects of life.
Yeah. Could you tell us more about your education?
My father attempted to have me educated as best he could. We had access to a school, and I became friends with the teachers and made myself read as much as possible. So I did have a fairly good education, and I was very lucky that I did.
Yes, we are all lucky that you got that education. Okay, you got married in 1582 to Anne Hathaway. You were 18, and she was 26. Will you tell us about your married life?
I got married because Anne was with child. I felt that it was my responsibility to care for her. She was much older and much more knowledgeable in many aspects of marriage. I did marry her, and we had a lovely daughter about 6 weeks after we proclaimed our marriage, that was 6 months after we proclaimed our marriage. Anne and I really did not have a whole lot in common. I did do the best I could to provide for her and my children, and we did stay married throughout our life.
Okay. When you first got married, how did you support your family when you were so young?
I had a very quick mind, and I was able to assume the role of a teacher. I tried to bring the children of the neighborhood to as much knowledge as I could present them. I also had to do odd jobs. I wanted to provide the best I could, and I figured that I would be much better using my mind than I would in using my hands.
Okay. One of your famous plays is Taming of the Shrew. Did that have anything to do with your wife?
Well, perhaps a little. She and I really did not have a whole lot in common, and there were times that she did have a bad temper. I sought to follow my dreams of writing away from the town in which I was born and where my family was. So I did harbor a bit of resentment towards some of the ways that she spoke to me, but I did remain married throughout my life.
Okay, at what age did you begin writing?
I always enjoyed writing. I enjoyed writing when I was going to school. It wasn't until I was in my middle 20s that I really started to take an interest in theater, and I met people that were also pursuing theater, and I truly began to take a serious interest. The more that I learned about theater, the more that I knew that I wanted to write plays, and that it took me a while to learn the basics, but I was able to do it.
Yes, you were. When did you move to London?
I was in my mid-20s when I started to go to London. Elizabeth wanted the people of London to have diversions and enjoyment. And she was encouraging the playwrights at the time. And I wanted to go to London and learn as much about theater as I could. That was the center of culture in those days. Theater was rapidly changing. In the early days of theater, it was mostly religion-based. We were entering a time that we could write about life, we could write about people, and we could write about humor. It was a wonderful time of reformation of the theater. And the only place that I could really follow that life was in London.
How would you describe your life when you were in London?
It was quite enjoyable. There was plenty of alcohol to go around. My friends were very personable. There was much nightlife. And those that were involved in the theater had a very close relationship with each other. We partied a lot. We did many things together. Living in London with those that were associated with the theater was probably was definitely the best time of my life.
How did you get started in the theater?
I had a great vivid imagination. When I started to meet the individuals that were associated with theater, I felt that I could write plays that the people would find enjoyable. I hung around with those that were acting at the time and actually began to take small acting parts. I knew once I started that this is the way I wanted to spend my life.
Okay. Last week, we interviewed King Richard III. He was quite upset at how you described him in the play. Does he have a reason to be upset?
Yes, Richard does have a reason to be upset with me. I did portray him in a manner that was very mean-spirited, and in many ways, not accurate.
Okay, you wrote Richard III in the early 1590s during the reign of Queen Elizabeth. Did she influence your writing?
She did not directly influence my writing. I knew that if I was going to be successful, that my writings would have to strengthen the Tudor family heritage. I felt that since Richard was the last of the Plantagenets, and Henry Tudor killed him in battle, that if I portrayed Richard in a very negative fashion, that I could gain the favor of the Tudors. There were still many people when I started writing that felt a strong relationship to Richard. I felt that it would be best for my career if I wrote a play in which he would not be portrayed as a good person. I did it, and I am sorry that I portrayed him in such a negative manner.
Did you realize that you would be destroying his reputation?
I was trying to have the people united under the family of, under the Tudor family. I knew that I would be writing things that were not accurate about him and that it would affect his reputation. I never, ever thought that the play would have such a lasting effect and that so many future generations would look at him in such a negative fashion.
Yeah. Do you see Richard III on the other side?
I have seen him. He is still, shall we say, not very well pleased with me for what I did. We try to avoid each other, which is probably best. I did try to apologize, but an apology on this side does very little to change the way people think on the other side. All right, let's take a real quick break here, and we'll come back, and if I don't screw anything else up, we will continue our channeling.
Don't go away. Channeling History will return right after these brief messages.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
From Haunted Road Media comes an exciting new novel by author Marla Brooks, Soul Connection, A Deadly Obsession. Two lost souls, ripped apart by murder in another century, find each other again in the present, only to discover that the murderer has followed them through time. Can their love save them, or will history repeat itself? Find out this captivating new novel by Marla Brooks, Soul Connection, A Deadly Obsession. Available now on Amazon.com and at BarnesandNoble.com.
You've no doubt heard of Tango and Cash, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, perhaps It Takes Two to Tango. Well now, on the first and third Thursdays of each month, there's a show called Tango and Friends at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network with your host, Bruce Tango. And yes, there will be at least two to tango on each episode, sometimes even more. There's going to be lots of topics and lots of guests you'll all know and lots of surprises. Tango and Friends, every first and third Thursday of the month at 8 p.m. right here on the Para-X Radio Network. Have you ever wondered what Jesus and his followers would say if you could receive their messages today? In his new book, Spirits Speak, Channeling Jesus and the Holy Spirits, channeler and author Barry Strom answers those questions for you. Using his gift of spirit communication, he brings you messages from such Holy Spirits as Moses, John the Baptist, Mary Magdalene, Mother Mary, Jesus, and even Mother Teresa and the Reverend Billy Graham. They discuss topics that are important for contemporary life in these troubled times. Spirits Speak, Channeling Jesus and the Holy Spirits is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other booksellers. Signed copies are available on the author's website, spiritspredict.com. After reading this book, you will never again say, "What would Jesus say or do?" Welcome back to Channeling History. Now, here are your hosts, Barry and Connie Strom.
Okay, welcome back. Connie, let's ask some more questions.
Okay, Will, tell us about the Globe Theater.
We got the idea that the people would enjoy sitting around the stage. So we invented the idea of theater in the round. We constructed the Globe Theater so that the individuals would have a much more intimate relationship with the actors. It was very, very successful.
Now, why did you choose to act in most of your plays?
I enjoyed acting. I always took minor roles. I knew that there were many better actors than I was, but it was something that I enjoyed. So that was what I did.
Okay. Suicide appears in 13 of your plays. Why did you write so much about suicide?
I was fascinated with what would happen when people take their own lives. We were told by the Catholic Church that suicide was certainly a sin. And I always wondered what the effect would be for those individuals that did take their own lives. It was a fascination, and I did include it in many of my plays.
Okay, would you describe your relationship with King James?
When Queen Elizabeth passed, King James took over, and he was extremely interested in the theater. He would come and watch our plays, and I would come to court. He would make suggestions, and he even gave me an excuse to rename our company of actors. James was very supportive, and he also thought that more of the human emotions should be shown in the plays. He made major changes and allowed us to write of human cruelties, human frailties, and many of the emotions that the individuals that came to watch our plays would share.
So is that the reason you began to write tragedies?
He felt that more tragic plays, more brutality, sexuality, many more humor. He opened the door to us writing in many, many different directions. I felt that the tastes of the people were changing at the times, and that they would like to hear more about the tragedies of human life.
Okay. How much of your writings were conducted in collaboration with others?
In those days, there were no copyright laws. We would use ideas from historical events and from the writings of others. We would work together. I had individuals that I trusted that we would work in collaboration. I helped some of those individuals with their plays, and they helped me with many of mine.
Okay, what did the critics think of the times of your work?
They were not enthralled. Many of them gave us very poor writings. They thought that what we did was very common and did not have the ability to last through the ages. I think many of my works surprised them.
Okay, we have a question from one of our listeners. Why was Hamlet a five-act play? Was it intentional to be that complex?
Yes. I thought that Hamlet was an incredible interwinding of human emotions and energies. I did have some help with suggestions in writing Hamlet. I felt that much time was needed to give people listening to the play a chance to understand the intricacies of emotions that were taking place before them.
Okay. Did Francis Bacon ever contribute to your works?
He made some minor contributions, but he was not an individual that I worked with that much.
Okay, how many of your works were totally original?
My early works were totally mine. King Richard was totally mine, as were many of the early plays. As time went on, we worked more with other individuals. I would say that probably less than half of my plays were totally original to me.
Okay. What was your main source of information for your works?
There were others that wrote before me. I would use some of their ideas. I had some psychic abilities, and I would have dreams where things would come to me. And I would try to incorporate some of those dreams into my work. A lot of it came from the individuals that were working with me at the time. Some of them had very unique ideas and would help to manipulate plots and storylines. Mm-hmm. I was very prolific in my writings, and I tried to get as many ideas from previously written works, historical facts, and anywhere that I could really come up with a concept that I thought the people would enjoy.
Okay, we have another question from one of our listeners. What prompted you to write Macbeth? It was several centuries prior, and the supernatural.
Macbeth represented some of the dreams that I had. I just mentioned that I had some psychic abilities. I tried to incorporate some of the concepts that were placed in my dreams into Macbeth. I thought that he was an incredibly intricate personality. And I believe that the way I portrayed him was quite effective.
Okay, we have another question from the chat. Are there any plays that you wanted to write before you died but never got a chance to do?
Yes, I had many concepts in my mind. I was not expecting to pass when I did. I wanted to write more of the historical tragedies. There were so many instances of history that I thought could have been incorporated into great stories. I did write almost 40 plays, and had I lived, I would have continued to write many more.
Okay, out of the light works that you did write, which was your favorite?
I liked Hamlet, and I liked Macbeth. There were other plays that I enjoyed, and plays like Midsummer Night's Dream entered areas of entertainment that had not been fully explored before. I actually enjoyed many of my works, but I think those two would be my favorite.
Okay. Are your sonnets autobiographical?
The sonnets were written at a time that the theaters were closed because of the plague. I did write about many of my personal experiences in them. I tried to hide the fact that I had done many things in my life, but some of them truly do reflect personal activities on my part.
Okay. Would you tell us about the Dark Lady sonnets?
The Dark Lady sonnets are written about an incredible woman with whom I did have a relationship. I did truly love her. And I felt that she was very special.
Okay. Did your mistress have black skin?
She did have a dark coloration of her skin.
Yeah.
She was a very beautiful woman in physical features. There were parts of her personality that I did not care for, but I did truly care for her.
Okay. Did you have many mistresses?
I was afraid you were going to ask this question. When I was in London, I did many things, and as at current times, many women are attracted to actors. In my day, many women were also attracted to the poets and actors. I did succumb quite a few times to temptation.
Okay. Why did you not publish any of your plays?
I felt that publishing was not really that important. I wanted people to come hear the plays, and I did not want them to be plagiarized. I did consider it, but I felt that if I put the plays in writing, that others would use my words and they would profit from my ideas.
Okay, we have a question from our chat room again. Have you written plays since you passed? I guess that means, did you get into somebody's head and help them write plays?
There have been times that I have tried to guide individuals on writing some plays. Many of my plays were adopted into movies. I did try to influence the producers and individuals that wrote the scripts to try to follow my storylines as closely as possible. But when you're over here, all you can really do is try to influence others.
Okay, and another question out of our chat. What prompted you to return to Stratford before your passing?
I returned to Stratford on a regular basis. I felt that we had members of family there, and I was still married.
Okay.
Mainly, I had a lot of real estate investments in the Stratford area that I wanted to keep an eye on.
Okay. Does the Stratford Monument provide an accurate likeness of your appearance?
It is fairly accurate, although I would modestly say that I think I was more handsome than the statue.
I'm sure. Do any of your sonnets reflect your romantic love of a young man?
In my day, our lives were very freewheeling. There were instances where I did truly feel affection for young men. Keep in mind, in those times, that women were not allowed to act, and a woman's role would often be taken by a young man.
Okay, what was the cause of your death?
I had been suffering with a cold. I went out with my friends, and we had much too much to drink. I think that I weakened my system, and I was taken down with pneumonia. And in those days, there was basically no cure for it. And that is how I met my death.
Okay. In your will, you bequeathed your second best bed to your wife. What did that mean?
I probably shouldn't have done this, but she became very distant in our sexual relationships. And we did really, as we grew older, we really had very little in common. I had relationships with women that were truly wonderful lovers. And I worded my will in this way so that she would understand her failures.
Okay, we have another question in the chat room. This listener says, I loved Much Ado About Nothing. Did you enjoy writing comedy for comedy's sake?
I had a great sense of humor, if I must say so myself. I thought that comedy and humor was the best way to lead individuals that were watching our plays away from thinking many of the bad things that were taking place around them. So yes, I did truly love comedy.
And I have to say, last week when I saw Comedy of Errors, I loved it too. It's great. Tell us about the curse that was placed on your grave.
In my day, when you died, they would put your body in a grave, and they would leave it until the worms were finished, and they would often take your bones and place them in a common burial so that they could reuse the burial space. I did not want that to happen. I wanted my bones to stay where they were. So I put the wording of a curse to anybody that would move my bones. It was very effective. And I would note that my bones are still in place.
Okay, how many of your plays were lost and never published?
There were several plays that were produced and the scripts were lost forever. I had, I believe, around 5 plays that were lost to history.
Yeah, that's sad. Does the fame that you've had through the centuries surprise you a bit?
Absolutely. I never, in my wildest imagination, when I walked the earth, thought that my plays would still be played hundreds and hundreds of years after my death.
They definitely are.
I thought that I was moderately successful during my life. But since I had not published anything when I passed, I felt that my plays would basically be history. I thank my friends for publishing my works. Without them, none of the things that I did would be living today.
Okay. Will, have you reincarnated since your life as Shakespeare?
No, I have not reincarnated. I look over at what is taking place on your side, and I do not feel that I would like to return. There may be a time in the future that I would consider returning and reincarnating, but I am not seeing any great works of art coming forward in your theater or in your movies at the present time.
Yeah. Do you have any regrets in your life as Shakespeare?
Yes, I have many regrets. I regret that I went drinking that night and it resulted in my death. I should have taken care of myself. I do regret that I put the wording in my will that I did concerning my wife. That has lived through the ages, where I thought that it would just be like this simple personal message. I should have published the works in my life, in my time. If I had done that, the plays that were lost would still be present.
Yeah. Do you have a final message for our listeners?
Yes. I would like to thank you for listening to me tonight. I am proof that what you accomplish in your lifetime may only be the beginning of what your works can do and will be remembered in the future. I felt that I had moderate success during my life, but I never imagined that I would be regarded as one of the greatest playwrights of all time. I would suggest that any of you that have a dream, pursue that dream and do the best that you can with your work. It may be that your works will not be as popular during your life as they may be after your passing. This is what happened to me. So follow your dreams, and you never ever know where they will take you. So thank you for listening, and thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us, Will.
Okay, sorry about all the technical problems in the beginning here. I think my cat had a little bit to do with pushing a button on my machine. Anyway, next week we're going to be interviewing the Archangel Michael. He's one of the most powerful of the archangels and a very good angel to get to know. You can submit questions or recommendations for future shows in advance through our emails, channelinghistory@paraxgmail.com. My new book, Spirit Speak, Channeling Jesus and the Holy Spirits, is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kindle. Signed copies are available on our websites. All of our shows are available on our YouTube channel that is in my name, Barry Strome. I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Thank you for listening, and please join us on Sundays on the Para-X Radio Network, and we will try to get the technical part of it right next time. So good night.
God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.
Thanks for listening to Channeling History. Tune in again next week for another electrifying episode, as we never know who will make an appearance or who will come through the portal. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2020. Our story begins by Kevin MacLeod, licensed through Incompetech.com.